Thanks for joining us for the Connect Podcast. I'm Cole Phillips, the lead pastor of the Connection Church, and every week we're going to look into the Bible to find out how God's Word connects to our everyday lives. It's going to be life-changing. The Connect Podcast is produced every week for your growth and inspiration. You can find all the show notes at makingtheconnection.org. You can also find the podcast on your favorite podcasting service. Follow me on Twitter at Cole Phillips and on Facebook and Instagram. You'll find all the links in the show notes. Now, let's get into the study. All right, I am so excited that you are joining me here as we get into God's Word. We're going to get God's Word into our life so that we can get it out of our lives into the world around us. I'm so excited as we continue our walk through Acts today, and we're in Acts chapter 16. If you got your Bible, you got something to write with, you may want to take some notes. And as we begin this, I want to talk with you about a sort of a crisis, really, that we're experiencing in our world today. And as we look at the state of our families, when you think about this, it's interesting because as I talk to people who are increasingly younger than me, as I get older, I talk about, you know, back in the day and what things were like. And some people who were, you know, a decade or two or three younger, they go, yeah, you know, hasn't it always kind of been this way? We just know more about what's happening in our world now. But no, things have changed. Things have changed. And it's really the result of what happened in the 60s with the sexual revolution that has impacted adversely, negatively, families and kids. And so we see this explored by a lady named Mary Eberstadt in her book that came out last year in 2023. The book's called Adam and Eve After the Pill Revisited. And she's looking at what has happened to kids and to men and women because there is way less commitment in our families, and there are fewer even connected, nurturing relationships than we've had in the past. So here's what she says. She says, children today are considerably less likely to have siblings and by extension, cousins, aunts, and uncles than they were 60 years ago. So 60 years ago, you're talking about 1960, you know, that time. Almost 30% of all households consist of just one person. A third of all households have one person. Some 40% of all children lack a biological dad in the home. She says, such momentous, ubiquitous changes to kinship have had and continue to have momentous and ubiquitous consequences. So how could they not? A world of fewer and weaker family ties is one in which deprived people are furious about the things they don't have or no longer know. So smaller families, less people getting married. We know this is happening. Less dads in the home. The National Review summarizes it like this, says, to put it more starkly, in the name of human freedom, we have perhaps unwittingly created a society in which children, on the whole, experience less love and commitment in their lives than ever before. There are literally fewer people in their lives who are bonded to them by familial ties. This means fewer role models, fewer chances to connect with the one odd cousin, aunt, or in-law who shares a peculiar passion or trait. It means less practice at socialization. It means fewer chances to practice sharing joy and grief with people whose bonds are natural and durable. And then she says, here's the undeniably shocking consequences. The vast majority of incarcerated juveniles have grown up in fatherless homes, Absent fathers predict higher rates of truancy, psychiatric problems, criminality, promiscuity, drug use, rape, domestic violence, and other tragic outcomes. So all of this has come as the cost, the price of freedom, sexual freedom that has taken place. You know, divorce obviously is more rampant, and you know, with the pill, with abortion, there's fewer children in particular families. And all of this, you know, we see the rise of the dual income, no kids, where they're spending money on themselves, but not wanting to have children. Some people think I can't bring a kid in the world because of the state of our world today. Things like this, where this is all having a negative effect on our emotional state, our mental state, spiritual state, all of this. Now, on the flip side of this, growing up with a dad in the home can have some positive effects. Obviously, I want to talk about that. What are we losing? Well, and I want to flip it positively, not in terms of what we've lost, but what you can gain by having an intact family, emotional stability. Kids with fathers have a greater sense of security and more balanced in their emotions, greater intellectual ability because you learn from your dad, higher academic achievement, better social skills, better behavior, a healthy relationship models. You see how our how mom and dad are to navigate through conflict, and better self-image, self-esteem, understanding what does it mean to be a man, what does it mean to be a woman, and just resilience, being able to face the challenges of life that are sure to come. So, you know, family relationships are being attacked, and what do we do about that? Well, one thing we can do is provide stronger families and make sure that we're staying faithful in our marriage relationships and we're there for our kids. But also, the church has a role to play, because if you don't have a dad, then you can find a male figure, a role model that can help you to grow. And I mean, that's not necessarily a substitute, but it certainly is something, because what happens today, so many young people, that not only do they not have the family structure in place, but they're not in church. But if they're in church, then they can find those kinds of family relationships. The church is a family. And so we're looking today at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, and we're going to see this spiritual father and son relationship. We're also going to see the son being one who came from a family of faith, and the legacy of that family of faith. And so if you're going to stay faithful as Paul did, and that's kind of what our focus is here as we talk about faithfulness, what does it look like? Well, be faithful in making disciples, okay? Faithful in making disciples. Let's read in verse 1 of Acts chapter 16, okay? Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And so this shows how Paul took Timothy under his wing to develop and to grow him. And, you know, Timothy, now we meet Timothy, who was this young disciple who was destined to become a great leader, a great servant leader in the church, that Paul would write these two letters to, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And Timothy was just a child when Paul visited Lystra on his first mission. He was probably somewhere around 10 to 12 years old. And he was still a young man when Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy. And so Timothy was probably somewhere around 18 years old when Paul met him on his second mission to Lystra. And Paul might have been the one who led Timothy to Jesus, to a relationship with Jesus on his first mission trip. But it's more likely that Timothy's mother and grandmother were the ones who led him to the Lord. His spiritual maturity was strong enough and stood out enough that Paul recognized it, and Paul wanted to bring him along on his mission. And so, I'll talk about Timothy a little more, because Timothy's dad was actually a Greek and was an unbeliever, not a Christian, but his mom and his grandmother were Christians. So his mom's name was Eunice. His grandmother's name was Lois. And so Timothy wasn't circumcised. So he was probably educated in the Greek culture and in that way. And when Paul met Timothy, he was already a Christian. He had a strong testimony that was standing out. And so much so that the word he of verse 1, Timothy, is changed to they become a team and really like a family. Timothy became a son to Paul. And so that speaks highly of Timothy. It speaks highly of Paul, that Paul was willing to bring on a younger believer and train him and raise him up. And really, that's the process of discipleship. It's relational. Making disciples is it comes out of relationship, and so there are there's a process that takes place in discipleship, and we know that one of the last things Jesus said before he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28, he told us and he told his disciples, he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he says, and surely I'm with you always. So it's a process that Jesus commands us to, of making disciples. That's what we all need to be about. And that means it starts with leading them to Christ and helping them take that first step of going public with their faith in baptism. But then also it continues to teach them all the things that Jesus taught and all the things of the Bible. And Jesus promises his presence with us in the process. But it starts with determining who are we going to disciple. And you look at Paul and Timothy. Timothy stood out to Paul. He saw potential. And that's something that, you know, I've had to work on in my life, is to look at people and put a 10 on everyone's forehead and say, you know, God has placed something in you and he's got a plan for you. And we want to see that come to fruition and come to develop. And it's our responsibility to help them develop that. And Timothy was the one who Paul wrote to in 2 Timothy 2:2, that said, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So you're looking for somebody who you can trust, who's reliable, and they then can pass it on to others. Really, discipleship is not complete until someone reproduces. So physical maturity, a person is physically mature when they have the ability to physically reproduce, and a person is spiritually mature when they have the ability to spiritually reproduce. They're spiritually mature when they have the ability to spiritually reproduce others, and that's a mark of maturity. So that's a question we should ask ourselves: are we reproducing what God has put into us, or reproducing that in others' lives? Not that you're making somebody into the image of you or a clone of you, but that you're helping someone conform to the image of Christ and his plan for their lives. Also, Timothy had a godly mother and a grandmother who were Jews, but they were also Christians. They were Christian believers, and they were both so strong in their faith that Paul even brings this out. He says, this faith that stood out in your family. And so that's what we want to be. We want to be these families of faith in our own families, but in our church family also, we want to be that. And just do not underestimate the impact and the influence of a godly mother. And the impact that a godly mom can have on their child. This is what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:5. He said, I'm reminded to Timothy of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. And so so this is a legacy. This is passing along the faith from one generation to the other. But then Timothy also, you know, he came from a home where his dad was not a believer. And so he was a pagan. He was not saved. And Timothy was from a divided spiritual family. But he chose to follow God at the time. And that is a choice sometimes people have to make to say, you know what, I'm going to choose this. In spite of the fact that maybe my parents aren't believers, I'm trusting in Jesus. Timothy had this godly testimony that people saw a difference in him throughout the whole region where he lived. He was still probably just maybe still a teenager or maybe just beyond. And yet he had this great reputation, this great character that stood out so that he was usable in this great way by God. And so you don't have to be a certain age to be used by God. There are a lot of people who say, well, when I get older, then I will do this or that. Or now some people say, I'm too old and I missed the opportunity to make a difference for God. You know, there's no right age. The age that you are today is the age God wants to use you, and he can use you right now, right where you're at. And so let's just look at this second point here, and that is that in verse 4, Paul was faithful to share the gospel. We've got to be faithful in sharing the gospel with others. As it says in verse 4, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. The decision that they were talking about was this whole thing we've been through in chapter 15, which is, what does it take to be saved? Do I have to keep all the laws, or am I saved by grace through faith? And they determined, which is the true, it wasn't just a vote, but this was Spirit-led, that it was it's Jesus who saves you. And there's nothing you can do, not by works, so that no one can boast. And the message that they had was the proclaiming the truth. And so when I say you're saved by grace through faith, that's how you're saved. You can't earn your salvation. It was that they declared, they said, salvation comes through the grace of the Lord Jesus. But there was also the teaching of living for Jesus. It's not just getting a fire insurance. It's not just, you know, being saved from hell by walking an aisle and praying a prayer. But true salvation and true conversion will lead to and result in living a life that wants to honor God, that we're becoming more like Jesus. And that was the message that Paul was sharing with all the churches. And he was going to all the cities. He gave them a written copy, a written document that they could refer back to. And that's such a lesson for us today, because we do have the written declaration, the word of God, about how to be saved and how he wants us to live our lives. And how sad is it that so many Bibles just sit on our coffee table or sit on our shelf and collect dust instead of being read and put into practice and understood. And so, you know, we do get some Bible teaching, maybe at church you get Bible teaching, But listen, I always say, don't just take my word for it. Okay, you want to get into the word for yourself, like in Acts chapter 17 with the Bereans, and we'll talk about them soon. But it says the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Not that they were looking to catch him in some wrong teaching. You know, you don't want to do it like in a suspicious way, but it's like, let's check this out. Don't just take some preacher's word for it just because they say, you can check it out, And if it's not right, then you just discard it. And not to say that some preachers, they're, you know, maybe they're not intentionally misteaching, you know, maybe they're just wrong. Okay. And that's okay. I haven't gotten it. I'm sure I haven't gotten it right 100% of the time, but at the same time, we want to be growing together, searching the word together. And so I would encourage you to do that. But then also, Paul was faithful in bearing fruit. And so in verse 5, it says, the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Imagine that. The church was exploding in growth. So many people were coming to know Christ. They were established in the truth of salvation and the way to live, and what really honored God with their life. And they were continuing to reach more and more people. And people who are following Jesus faithfully, they're going to naturally be reaching more people for Jesus. And, you know, Jesus said in John 15, 16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." And so Jesus said, I've called you to bear fruit. What does that fruit look like? Well, it looks like our lifestyle, but it looks like people. It looks like reaching people and leading them, as we said to begin with, making disciples. And one problem I've seen in the church over the years is we're constantly on a search for new methodology, new plans, new structures, new systems that we could use to advance the kingdom of God and grow the church and be more effective at reaching people. And in the process, what has happened is people have lost, church leaders have lost the person that we're trying to reach. We've lost the person in the midst of the systems and the structures. And really, it's all about people. It's personal. It's personal. It's one-on-one. God's plan is to make something of the person, not of the system, not of the organization. And we are God's methodology. We are God's best system. And the church is always looking for better methods. God is looking for more faithful Christians who are living for Him daily, who are consistently loving others, reaching out to those around us, and helping them come to know Him and come to know the truth. And what the church needs today is not more systems or strategies or better screens or whatever it is. We don't need more innovative methods. We need people who are available and useful by the Holy Spirit, who are people of prayer, who allow God's Spirit to flow through them. God's Spirit, He does not fill systems. He fills people. So I want us to ask Him to fill us and use us today to raise up others. I want to ask you, like, who is your Timothy in your life? Who is it that that's maybe not quite as far along as you? Maybe you're just a step or two ahead of them, but you can say, hey, I'm going to help you grow and fulfill God's purpose for your life. You also need somebody that you're looking up to that can help you grow as well. So we all need that in our lives. We need a Paul and we need a Timothy. So I encourage you with that, and I just want to challenge you today to be faithful. faithful in your walk, faithful in your footsteps, and faithful as you live out what God has called you to do and be today. So thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you really soon. Thank you for joining us for this week's Connect podcast. If you liked what you heard, then be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, rate. We want to spread this good word to everybody we can who needs to hear this message. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to you joining us next week for the Connect podcast.